And because of that, the whole, everything in God's creation, including our own lives, our own hearts, are now broken, disjointed, messed up, hurting. And the world doesn't work like it should. And the reason is because we're disconnected from the true King. But Jesus came, and when he came, his main message is the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here, which literally means that Jesus came as the true King, and he is calling people to trust in him. But the way we trust in Jesus, what it really means to know Jesus, is that we look to Jesus as our God, and we bow our knee to him as our King, which means we're saying, Jesus, you are the ultimate authority in my life. What you say, I will do. Where you call, I will go. I'm following Jesus, hey. And I'm putting my past behind, the cross is ahead. I'm giving myself to you, Jesus. You are my true King. You are the boss of my life. You are my authority. But how do we know what it looks like to live with Jesus as our authority? How do we know what it looks like to follow him and to trust him and to obey him? Well, what God has given every child are people in their life, and very specifically their parents, but there's more, people in their life who are earthly authorities. And this is for everybody, all right? So those of you who are starting to check out and go, all right, this is one for the kids, here's the deal. Everywhere there is a God-given authority in your life. Here's the biblical principle. Anywhere there is a God-given authority in your life, the command is to put yourself under and to obey that authority as you do to the Lord, because it is that authority. God has given you that authority in your life to teach you what it looks like to live with a King. So at any point, now, mom and dad, here you go. At any point you look at the laws of the land and go, I'm not doing that. What you were saying is, I don't really want to live with a true King. I'm going to live for myself. And you were literally teaching your children that authority only matters for them. They have to obey you, but you don't have to obey anybody else. We're going to find out next week that Paul actually uses similar language in terms of the workplace. And we're going to struggle, or in 2 weeks, we're going to struggle with some of this. But here's the big idea. Anywhere there is an authority that the Bible says God is sovereign, there's nobody who is an authority in your life that God went, I didn't know that was going to happen. Our government is our authority. Our parents. There's even a structure within marriage that God has created where we saw a couple weeks ago that God called men to be the head of the home and wives to be the heart of the home. And at every point where these authorities are there, what God is doing is he is teaching us what it looks like to have somebody as the true King. And the reverse is this. Anybody who snubs their nose at a God-given authority is building into their life the type of character that will do the same thing all the way with God. I have never, ever, now you need to hear this, I did over 20 years in youth ministry, hanging out with teenagers. I have been part of the lives of hundreds of you, people like you. I have never met a teenager who said, I love Jesus, but I'm going to disobey my parents, who eventually didn't walk away from Jesus. Did you hear me? Because what happens is these teenagers, I mean, I'd say we'd come home from camp or an event like you guys, some of you went to this weekend and hung out at a youth retreat. You'd feel really close to Jesus and they'd feel really challenged and inspired to live for God. And they're going to go take the world. They're going to go back to their schools and witness and share their faith. And they're going to march into hell with a water pistol and take over kind of faith. But they get off the bus from this retreat and mom and dad are trying to talk to them and they won't talk to their parents. They treat their parents like dirt. Their parents tell them, hey, I want you to come home. They go, no, I'm going out with my friends tonight. I don't care what you want. And what they're literally saying is everything that happened at camp, I didn't get it. I thought this was really about Jesus making me feel something wonderful. I didn't get that it was Jesus calling me for him to be my King. And so when you literally say, I'm going to be rebellious, I'm going to turn against my parents, I'm going to disobey them, I'm not going to have any part of their life, I'm just going to kind of put them on the outside, they're old fogies, they don't know what life is like, they don't know what I'm going through, they don't understand my world. When you begin to have that mindset and marginalize your parents, what you're literally starting to do is to build in your heart the thing that later you will say the same thing to God. God, you just don't understand my life. You don't understand my situation. I really need this, but you're telling me not to do it. But I'm going to do what I want to anyway. You are building that into your life, and it will happen. And so when Jesus tells Paul, and Paul writes this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What he's doing is he's shaping your life so that you know what it looks like to live with Jesus at the center. And the cool thing is, as we look at the promises there here, the promises are to children who obey their parents are very similar to everybody else in the Bible when it says obey Jesus. So let's look at this. There are two commandments, two clear commandments in this passage to children. And oh, by the way, here's the deal, okay? We read children, and I've taught this and preached this before, and I know the first thing that goes off in anybody who's over 12 years old is, but I am not a child. And we agree. You're a young adult, you're growing up, you're learning to kind of have your own values, your own attitudes, all that kind of stuff. This is a English translation of a word in the original language that meant something bigger than little kid who goes to elementary school. A child in this passage actually is a reference to anybody who has parents. Now, there's a qualifier, and I'll get to it in just a minute. I'll explain that there's actually in the text a way that says, when do I get to stop this? Do I have to obey my parents when they're 85 and I'm 78 or 68? 85, 78. That would be really weird. Anyway, but you get the idea, okay? And the answer is no, but I'll explain it in a minute. There is actually in the text something that says, this is when I get to stop. It's not what most people think it is, by the way. But children is anybody who has parents, okay? In the verse, there are actually, in the New Testament, there are actually adult people that this word refers to as the son of so-and-so, okay? And so this is not little kids. This is anybody who has parents. We're talking to you. And he says, children, and the first command is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And like, the original language is really complex. It means obey your parents in the Lord. Actually, the original word is a compound word that is from the word to hear and under. It is to hear under. Here's the idea. It means that I am literally, first of all, turning my ears to my parents. I am listening to them. And when they ask me to do something, or they ask me to have values and attitudes and that kind of stuff in my life, that I heed what they say and I do it. I put myself under it. And we see this in our twins, okay? There are two ways to kind of ignore this passage or to miss this passage. We have Grace, we have Mary. We love them deeply, but they are the biggest challenges of our five children. I'm just letting you know. I will let you know that if we'd had twins first, we would have two. Grace's mode of operation, I will look at her and say, Grace, look at me. And she will look at me with this stare that is like right through you. And I will say, Grace, I need you to get in your chair. We're ready to eat. And she will look at me and go, no, I don't want to. And go back to whatever she was doing. She hears what I says, but she draws a line of sand. She is going to have her way. She is going to do what she wants to do. And it takes strong, godly parenting often with her to correct this just flat out willful rebellion. Mary, on the other hand, is passive aggressive. Mary just acts like she doesn't hear you. She doesn't turn and look at you. She just goes on about her business, acting like she's a little, you know, girl that's hearing impaired and doesn't know what's going on. She is in her own world, and she hears me. She knows what I want. She knows that she's supposed to turn around, look right at me, but does she do it? No. I have to walk over here and tap her. Mary, look at me. And literally with Mary, I have to get her to the point where she will and turn and look at me. And she looks up, her eyes, like Grace's eyes, will pierce through you. Mary is gonna turn around with these big old ginormous puppy dog eyes and this smile that is just amazing. And finally, when I get her to that point, I'm like, this is what I want. She will actually, at that point, be compliant. Her way of ignoring and disobeying is to be passive aggressive and act like she doesn't hear, while Grace is to just be plain out aggressive, look you right in the face and say, I hear you, I'm just not doing it. And this is all of us. With any authority in our life, we tend to cope with it in two ways. We either, and this is what the text is trying to say to us, we either will look to God, we will look to the people in authority over us, and we will act like, well, I didn't know that. Or we'll say, I knew it, I just ain't doing it. And what God says here is, or what the text says, Paul says, is children, obey your parents and the Lord. Now, there is actually a qualifier. When are you released from this? And the binding verse is actually a few verses earlier in chapter 5, verse 31, where he says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and will hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Now, if you're single here and you're in your 20s or 30s, you're like, wait a minute, do I still have to obey my parents? I'm gonna explain this idea here, okay? But the binding verse in this passage is you're released from this when you leave your father and mother and you get a husband or a wife. You're like, but wait a minute. Like I said, in my 20s, I've left home and I'm on my own. There are other passages that actually deal with that. But let me just put it this way. If you are still financially dependent on your family, your mom and dad in any way, the Bible is not going to write you a release clause here. Basically, what the Bible is saying is when you are ready to really be a man, you can begin to let this verse be in your rearview mirror. Ladies, when you're really willing to take the responsibility of a woman and be doing the things the Bible calls a woman, you can be released here. In our culture, this is what happens. Teenagers go through high school and they begin when they're two, but they begin to go through their junior high and high school years and begin to have a flare of rebellious. And they see this finish line, which is when I go away to college, I'm going to be out from underneath my parents. I'm going to be able to go away to school and I can party and live however I want to. My parents will not be able to see me. My parents will not be around. My parents will not listen to me. And I'm just letting you know that every promise in this verse, you are about to experience the opposite of it, because God will not let you go there and have a great, wonderful experience. As you say, the heck with my parents, I'm living however I want to because they can't watch me anymore. But that's kind of the mode. The way people see it is, I'm free, woohoo! Because I'm away at college and the Bible does not release you. If you want to honor God, the Bible does not release you at that point. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so the first command is to obey your parents. Now, it's amazing. Mark Twain once said this, and every adult in this room understands this, okay? That when you're 15, you think your parents are the dumbest people on earth. You're like, they don't understand the world. They don't understand my life. And Mark Twain put it like this. He said, it is amazing how much smarter my dad got when I turned 21. Think about that. That's my experience. I realized my dad was a really wise guy when I got married. Like right after I got married, I was like, you know, my dad knew what he was doing. He's pretty smart. I didn't think that in middle school and high school all the time. But what happens is your parents has actually walked through the wars. They've been through situations. And you tend to think they don't understand. They do. It's really hard for any kid in this room to picture their parent as a middle schooler or a 8th grader or an 11th grader going to high school, eating lunch in the cafeteria and all that kind of stuff. But guess what? We all been there, done that. And we all made mistakes. And guess what? All of us needed to repent of disobeying our parents, right? Right, everybody else? And so they do bring wisdom to the table. And the Bible's just trying to say, listen, as you obey your parents, you're really obeying the Lord. You're obeying Jesus. As long as your parents never ask you to do something that disobeys the Lord. So as long as your parents are telling you to do something that isn't disobeying the Lord, you do it. And so I kept bringing these girlfriends home. I'd start dating a girlfriend, have a girlfriend. My parents never liked any of them. Drove me nuts. They just ticked me off to no end because they just didn't like anybody I brought home. And then I met Heidi. And at the time, we were just kind of friends. But I took her to my house to let her do her laundry. So there's a little scheming going on here, just so you know, okay? My parents didn't know her, took her to my house. She's you know, using our washing machine, being a gracious Christian dude. She lived in Illinois. It's a long way home. The washers and dryers are little bitty things at the college campus. So we'll go home. You can do your laundry. I bet my mom will cook a meal for us. We get home. My mom walks in and meets Heidi, and I introduce her to Heidi. We are not a couple, okay? My mom grabs my dad, walks into the other room. She looks my dad right in the face and goes, "That's the girl Mike's going to marry." Told us that after we got engaged. She said, "I knew you would the day I met her." It's amazing that my parents had intuition into something that I could not see. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Second command, he says, honor your father and your mother. Now, obeying actually deals with my actions. It deals with what I do. They ask me to do something, I obey my actions. Honor, to honor your parents is actually something that deals with my attitude. Deals with my attitude towards my parent. And so it says, honor your father and mother. The word honor just means that I place in high esteem, I place great value. It's a word that would have been used to do like an assessment on a home. Those of us who own homes know that every couple of years they come by and they do an assessment. The county does. And we get really ticked off at them when they assess it too low or too high. We want the value to match the worth. And the idea here is that you look at your parents and you give them the honor that is due them, not necessarily because they deserve it, but because God has said for you to give that to them. So your parents may have been terrible. The Bible still tells you honor your parents because grace requires it. God's given you grace. You treat people with grace. But you are to honor your parents. Now, the interesting thing here is that the call to obey has a release. The call to honor does not. So when your parents are 88 years old and you are 68, that's a little better, you are still called to honor your parents. In fact, there's a very interesting verse, a passage where Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. And the religious leaders had come up with this idea that, yeah, we're supposed to take care of our parents when they get older, but we'll just tell them that we're giving the money to the Lord. We're going to be really holy, churchy, godly people. We'll give it to the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 15, it tells a story where Jesus looks at the religious leaders and say, you are ungodly people because you ignore the law of God. You say you're serving Jesus when you look to your parents and say, I can't take the money to take care of you and give it to you. I need to give it to the church. But you're disregarding the command in Exodus 20 that says, honor your parents. So watch this. Caring for our parents as they get older is an act of honoring our parents according to Exodus 20, which is one of the Ten Commandments. And here Paul actually quotes the Ten Commandments. And he says, honor your father and mother. He says, for this is the first commandment with the promise. In other words, in the Ten Commandments, it's thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then it says, honor your father and mother. And he tags a promise. And the promise he quotes here, that you will, life will go well with you and you'll live a long time in the land that I am giving you. And he says it's the first commandment with a promise. And so here's the deal, kids. God is trying to tell you that when you obey and honor your parents, he is structuring your life so that you will live in blessing and live knowing God deeply and live with him as your king in a great way. And so honor deals with my attitude, obey deals with my actions. And my question for everybody in here, are you really honoring your parents? If you're not, you really aren't honoring Jesus. Kids, are you obeying your parents? You cannot obey Jesus as your king and disobey your parents at the same time. Can't do it. Children, obey your parents, the Lord, honor your father and mother. And what happens in the passage is that there are three things that are told here, three promises or three things that it says that God will do for you when you obey and honor your parents, all right? Are you ready? Three things that will happen in your life when you choose to honor and obey your parents. Number one, he will make you like Jesus. He will make you like Jesus. Verse one, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. The idea of right there is right in terms of right with God, right with the world. It's the word that the Bible keeps using over and over again when it says he's going to make us holy or make us like Jesus. And so children, obey your parents and the Lord. This is right. Literally means God will make you more like Jesus and help you become a greater follower of Jesus as you listen to this verse. The second thing he promises he will do for you is he will bless your life. Verse 3, he says, that it may go well with you. He will bless your life. It may go well with you. In other words, God will pour blessing into who you are. You will experience prosperity in your life. You will experience joy. You will experience fullness as you obey your parents. And the third thing is that there is a promise here that God will give you a legacy. This last phrase is really interesting because it's quoting that verse in Exodus 20. And he says, you will live long in the land. And this doesn't mean if you obey your parents, God is promising you'll live to be 104. Okay? There are people who honor and obey their parents who die in car crashes, sadly. So, got to understand the original here. In Exodus 20, God is talking to this nation. And he says, when you all honor your parents, I'm going to give you this special place, this land that we know is present-day Israel, and you as a nation will live there in such a way that it will be a long, beautiful, wonderful thing as you live in the land. And you will pass on your God, your heritage, your legacy to one generation to the next. All right, so for those of you who just lost me, here's the big idea. As you honor and obey your parents, you are building the type of things in your life so that as you live your life, whenever your life comes to an end, your kids are going to look at you and they're gonna say, my dad, my mom, my brother, my sister, there was something about them and I want their legacy to live on. In fact, the whole idea of honoring your parents, at the very core, this is the big idea of honoring, is to live your life in such a way, to live your life in such a way that when people look at you, they think your parents are awesome people. Now, your parents, you may come from a home where your parents were broken and it was hard and they didn't do things well with you. They didn't treat you right. You may come from a home where abuse happened. And believe me, this passage is not telling you just suck it up under abuse. That is not obeying your parents in the Lord. They're calling you to be part of something that is not of God. But when you choose to honor your parents, you are living your life in such a way that they look at, I'll just put it myself, that people look at Mike and they go, Andy Hubbard, the old big Andy, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, he must be a great guy because look at his kids. It doesn't matter who your parents were, you can live your life in that way. To honor your parents, to obey your parents, and it will you'll experience a blessed life. So what happens is the Bible gives us this amazing, amazing picture of this. And it's in the person of Jesus. So in Luke chapter 2, there's this really cool story, really interesting story of Jesus, who is God. He is the true king who has come to the earth, okay? But he has been placed in a home with Mary and Joseph as his parents. And when he was 12 years old, his parents took him to Jerusalem. It was their custom to go to Jerusalem at the Passover, which is this ginormous celebration of some of the things that God had done in the past for the Jewish people. And so there were thousands and thousands of people who came to Jerusalem to spend a week in the town to celebrate and all this kind of stuff. And so they'd gone to Jerusalem. They had hung out for a week. They'd celebrated all that God had done. And at the end of that week, it was time to go home. And so everybody started hopping on their camels and grabbing their groups. And most like towns, like if you lived in a small town, you would all travel together. If you've ever been on vacation with a couple families, this is kind of the feel. And you know what happens at the end of the trip, that there's kind of this, all right, guys are in this car, girls are in this car. The guys over here, we're going to talk about sports and we're going to talk about, you know, ESPN. And the girls over here are going to talk about, I have no idea what y'all talk about when that happens. I'm just saying, okay? And so the guys are in one caravan, bunch of camels, ladies are in another caravan. They travel a day's journey. They come together and they have this moment. Mary and Joseph have this moment that every parent is terrified of, and most of them have gone through at one point in time. As Mary looks at Joseph and goes, where's Jesus? And Joseph's response is, I thought he was with you. And now they realized Mary and Joseph have lost the Son of God. I mean, there's sins, but let's be honest, that's a bad one. I mean, Jesus' picture is on milk cartons, you know, that just this terrible event. They are terrified. I mean, if you've been a parent, you've had that moment where your kid has gotten away from you and for a minute, 5 minutes, half an hour, and they're lost. I mean, the terror that's going on in your life. They go through this. They go back to Jerusalem. They search for 3 days. Can you imagine that? 3 days they're looking for him. They finally go back to the temple. They go to the temple, which is the big place of worship for the Jewish people. And when they go in there, there's Jesus sitting, and he is sitting under the religious teachers and leaders. And they're not teaching him. They're actually quizzing Jesus. And they're amazed that this Galilean peasant boy has such a grasp and an understanding of who God is and what the scriptures teach and the mission of God in the Bible. They're awed by it. The teachers are. Mary and Joseph are just freaked out. And Jesus, when they said, why did you do this? He said, did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Very interesting declaration of his identity. He knew what he was. He knew why he was here. He knew what his mission was. He knew that he was here under the authority of the true king that God had sent them. But the next two verses are amazing. In Luke chapter 2, verses 51, 52, check this out. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He went back to his hometown with his parents, Mary and Joseph, and was submissive to them. Do you see that? He placed himself under the authority of his earthly parents. Here is the king of the universe in human form who is obeying and honoring his parents. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And then the very next verse says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In other words, what happened is Jesus, as a human person, had to grow into what it meant to be a fully human person. He had to go through all the stages of life. The king of the universe became a person and lived on this earth, and now he was going to experience all that there was to be human. And the king of the universe had to placed himself under the authority of his parents. He lived in obedience and he honored his parents. And what God did in his life is he helped Jesus grow in all these areas in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And I like to use a banana to illustrate what happened to Jesus, which is also what should happen to every kid, every teenager, every person in here who's still under the authority of your home. What happened to Jesus? He increased in, there's four ways listed. And God wants to grow you in these four ways. And the way he does it is he puts you in a home where you choose to live in obedience and honoring your parents. And so like a banana, first of all, it says he grew in wisdom. All right, kids, a banana has a peel, right? Every time you eat a banana. We were actually at the zoo yesterday and we watched an elephant eat a banana whole. Just picked up the banana and shoved it in his mouth, and all my kids went, ew. He didn't peel it. Now, I'm not sure how an elephant with a trunk is supposed to peel a banana. We have opposable thumbs. It works, okay? But a banana has a peel. You know what the peel does for the banana? It protects the fruit. You take a banana out of the peel, it's not long before it gets all smushy and mudgy and nasty and brown. But the peel protects it. In the same way, wisdom, the wisdom of God, protects our lives. It helps us know how to live, what to do, the right things. Well, as I live in obedience to my parents, I will grow in wisdom just like Jesus did. It says it grew in stature. This is kind of a runt banana. Somebody should have left it on the tree a little longer. I like big bananas. My wife, on the other hand, she likes them about this size. So I'll let her eat this one later. This is about the right size for her. But, you know, a little bit of runt bananas. Well, what happens is they grow. In the same way, God helps you grow up, not just to get bigger, but to develop in your home. He's given your home for that. It says he grew in favor with God. In favor with God. Now, what this means is that we are connected to God and we get to know God and we get to have a deep relationship with him. This is what is happening in Jesus' life, and this is like the stem. A banana has a stem. You know what the stem does on a banana? It connects it to the tree. The tree is the source of life so that the banana can become everything that it's supposed to be, right? In the same way, our walk with God, knowing God, listening to him, reading the Bible, praying. This is why when your kids are really little, it's so important to get a Jesus storybook Bible and read it and all that. Learning how to read the Bible and all that stuff becomes key because it keeps us connected to the source of our life. And so Jesus grew in favor with man, or with God, and it says they also grew in favor with God. Bananas grow in bunches, so do people. Okay? And the first bunch you get is your family. The next bunch you get is your church. A banana that is detached from the bunch is not going to survive. So what happened with Jesus? He lived in submission. He lived under the authority of his parents. He obeyed and honored his parents. He grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. When you do the same thing as a kid and as an adult, you honor your parents, what happens? You will grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man, just like Jesus. And that's what God wants to do with you, and it's why he put you in the home he gave you, and we should be thankful. Now, we're going to do something right now that's a little bit different. We're going to celebrate that same Jesus who was a child at 12 grew to be a man and died on the cross for us. And we're going to do it by celebrating communion. This is a celebration, like I said at the beginning, where we see the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus that was broken, the blood that was shed. And what we want to do, we're not going to have people serve in communion. We actually want to encourage you to do this with your family. If you're here today and you are with your family, here in just a minute, while I say go, I want you to go find your family. I'm going to come down and join my family. So if you're sitting here and you're with your family, go find your family. If your family is not here, that's okay. We want to encourage you just to use the next few minutes to kind of silently pray through this and then celebrate with yourself or maybe a friend or two around you. That would be fine. If you're here with your family, dads or moms, just talk to your kids again and explain what's going on. If they're not ready to take communion, just encourage them, hey, when we go up there, you don't take it, but you watch and see what happens, okay? And then when your family is ready or you are ready to do that, you just come to a table and there's four places. We actually have a corner table over here, a corner table over here, two right here. You go find the table. It's come on down. You can come down either side. Go find the table. You celebrate communion. We wanted our band to be able to do this. They're going to kind of go first. They're kind of prepared for this. They're going to pray real quick with their family, and they're going to come down here and celebrate communion. So we're going to play other music for a few minutes while this is going on. And we want you to come down and celebrate communion. But on this day, if you were here with your family, we want you to do it with them, okay? And like I said, if you're not a follower of Jesus, this is a great time just to pray and think about and ask yourself, have you bowed your knee to King Jesus? Have you trusted Christ? So I'm going to pray, we're going to do that, and then the band's going to come up on stage, we're going to worship Jesus, we're going to sing to him, we're going to celebrate who he is a little bit more, and then we're going to go to the river and we're going to do baptism, all right? Jesus, we love you, we thank you for our parents, I thank you for mom and dad that you gave me that loved Jesus and loved you so much and they passed that on, and I pray that I'll be that type of dad to my kids, and I pray that my kids will learn to obey and honor their parents, and I pray, Lord, that you will build that into all of us here this morning. For those of us who are here and kind of thought, man, I'm real close to God, but I don't like my parents very much, I pray you would convict us of that and you would help us to repent and to make it right with them and right with you. And Lord, as we come celebrate communion, remind us of the great sacrifice you made for us. In your name I pray, amen.